Good afternoon, or good morning. It's the pastors of Berean gathered around the mic, minus El Pastor. He is spending some time with his wife. And so we're gathered here today with an article. I get to introduce it because I suggested it, and it's a Disney cartoon. So it's very appropriate that Pastor Sean's not here. He would not be interested in a cartoon. But the title of this is Disney's Doc McStuffin Sends a Great Message with a Two-Mom Family. This is an article by Curtis M. Wong. He is the head editor of Queer Voices for the Huffington Post. So you can find this on the Huffington Post, their website, and there is actually a little bit of uproar. Some conservative organizations are also producing some backlash over this because just, I believe it was last week, this Doc McStuffins episode aired with a very subtle two-mom family as part of a subtle message to the audience inside of the bigger theme of the show.
So before we get started, we're going to tell the listener the difference between Wright and Wong.
Yes.
We'll talk about cartoons. I thought we should lighten the mood.
Yes,
a little bit.
Absolutely. All right, so children of same-sex parents got some much overdue representation in mainstream animation this weekend, courtesy of the Disney Channel. The animated children's series, Doc McStuffins, which premiered in 2012, follows 7-year-old Dottie, Doc McStuffins, who dreams of one day becoming a doctor. In the meantime, she helps her toys and stuffed animals recover from fictional ailments by giving them regular checkups. Saturday's episode of the series stressed the importance of always having a backup plan in place for an unexpected event. Titled The Emergency Plan, the story focused on two mom dolls who were separated from their kids when a toy dragon causes an earthquake. The episode, which aired Saturday on Disney Channel and Sunday on Disney Junior, featured two openly queer stars, Wanda Sykes and, is it Portia?
Portia
De Rossi, as the voice of the moms. In a behind-the-scenes interview, Sykes said her 8-year-old twins, Lucas Claude and Olivia Liu, were both fans of the series, which teaches very valuable lessons and sent a great message. With this episode, they see a family that looks like our family, the 53-year-old actress and comedian said in the interview, which can be viewed above. We're two moms, and it's going to be very exciting for my kids to see our family represented. Disney's decision to cast Sykes and De Rossi as the two moms in the emergency plan didn't go unnoticed by a number of LGBTQ advocacy groups, including GLAAD. In a blog post on GLAAD's website, President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis praised Doc McStuffins for having portrayed families reared by same-sex couples in a beautiful and positive way with the episode. Shows like this reflect our real world, Ellis said. And today, that includes many children being raised by gay and lesbian parents who are all going to celebrate this story. Should we pause there and talk about that?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and finish the article.
Yeah, it's only two paragraphs.
The emergency plan is the latest in a series of moves Disney has made to incorporate inclusive pro-LGBTQ themes in its programming. It featured same-sex couples on its shows Good Luck Charlie and Gravity Falls in 2014 and 2016, respectively. Earlier this year, the inclusion of an exclusively gay moment featured in the character of LaFoe, Josh Gad, in the live-action reboot of Beauty and the Beast made headlines, though critics were at odds over just how exclusively gay the scenes really were.
Wasn't gay enough for him, huh?
Yeah, apparently. And then you have, on the other side, you had, you know, Christian circles boycotting because of the exclusivity of the gayness. So the reason I kind of wanted to bring it to the group's attention, one of our church members and, you know, vital youth workers for me sent me the link because his 5-year-old daughter loves watching this show. And, in, you know, as a dad, it's, you know, I told him, I was like, well, when you figure this out, you let me know how you decide. Because having a toddler, it's, you know, at what point, and which is really what I wanted to talk about, is at what point is the series no longer suitable to watch because it has an episode with the two-mom family?
Is no longer suitable to watch at the same point that any TV series would be no longer suitable to watch once it defies God's laws. All TV.
Yeah.
And I would back up even further and just go on the record is my kids don't watch Disney. I'm one of these crazy anti-Disney folks, not for these events that they try to push, but because their regular and constant portrayal of parenthood as bumbling idiots and the students, and saying things like, well, I just want them to be happy and I just want them to be free to make their own decisions. Well, I mean, this is classic Romans. This is where you end up. And so that's why in our household, and, you know, everyone is a priesthood of the believers. We believe in that. We believe that the father should lead the household. But as for me and my house, we just decided we didn't need the Disney attitude, period, much less these kind of things. Because, you know, if you're raising children, you know it's a struggle enough already with just the natural rebellion of children. But you put that in front of them day in and day out as a babysitting tool, and don't be surprised when you have a handful for children to deal with.
And I think that's my point in saying what I said, mm-hmm. is there's so many negative elements throughout all of our entertainment that if we're going to say one episode or one instance creates a condition in which it is no longer viable, then if we take that same measure and we apply it across the board, what are we watching? What are we doing? So there's the gift of discernment that God has given to us. We have to start using that discernment, and we have to start weighing this out, which does take us back to your question, when is it not viable? And Jonathan nails it. When is it not acceptable to you as a father leading your home now?
Yeah, because it's a different situation, and not to say that a Christian adult should be able to watch whatever they want. You know, don't hear that when what I'm saying.
Right.
But it's different when, because we can encounter a show as fathers and say, I see that, I see that, I see that. Your children aren't thinking that way.
Right.
You know, so it's your job to do that for them. And so if you see objectionable content, then it's your job to cut that out. You know, it's not, well, we'll let the kids figure it out. All right. When they're 20, okay, you're not going to tell a 20-year-old what to watch. You know, you might, but they've got autonomy at that point.
Right, yeah.
You know, with young kids, with cartoons, that's the subtlety. That's the stuff you've got to be on top of. So don't, if you park your kid in front of the TV for 6 hours a day and
they're
never check what they're watching,
they're going to be exposed to stuff you don't want them exposed to.
Don't be surprised. Yeah.
The question is with this TV show that's been running since 2012, okay, at what point does it become a pattern in the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this a one-time blip to measure how it's received, to see if they want
to
bring the blip
to push
back
forward,
a little bit more? We know the bumbling idiot thing is a predominant theme. So his point of, I don't want that countering my ability to lead as a spiritual leader of my home, is well received when it's a constant recurring theme within the programming, which he says would have an adverse effect on his spiritual ability to be the spiritual leader of his home. So you're looking at this piece, and please don't say it. Please don't hear me saying that this show is right in the episode. I'm not saying that at all. We can talk about the episode content all we want to, right or wrong.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is okay. So I start building these things. Good Luck Charlie. They did a one and done episode. Gravity Falls did a one and done episode. These are the two that are mentioned in addition to this. But it does show that Disney's going to start trying to periodically bring this in. And now that they've done a major motion movie, which wasn't gay enough for some, or should we use the word in their article, queer enough for some, and then we have this on the back end on the television piece, we really need to start questioning Disney's direction and its viability.
Mm-hmm. And so you got to decide how much work you want to do.
Exactly.
Right? Like, so your options are, you can do what John's talking about. We're not gonna do that at all.
No,
you've shown me where you want to go. I'm not taking the risk. If you're going to allow the door to be open, then you better be willing to look at each one of these shows individually and make sure you understand what your kids are watching. Otherwise, you're being irresponsible.
And quite frankly, I don't usually see that happening.
What I
see is children are unattended, and it's just watching hour after hour the Disney Channel after school when they come home, or
Netflix. Binging on Netflix.
It's changed. But like using that in the morning as a babysitter because you don't want to get out of bed yet, but your kid wakes up an hour or two before you do, those are the kind of habits that I think are dangerous for many reasons. but because they're going to encounter, you know, in our family, one of the things was, you know, we watched Frozen so many times that a 3-year-old can quote the lines, you know, and that's when it becomes to me just a little bit, okay, my antennas are up, because that means she's paying attention.
Yeah.
And I understand that they go through periods where they have to, you know, and, you know, make believe is good, and they do role playing and stuff. But two, that can also cross the line, even with things like we would say, like Frozen. There's not a lot of content in Frozen that you would just outrightly say is, you know, problematic.
Yeah. Better than most. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we moved on to Moana, and you've got a lot of you know, spiritual things that. And so my thing is, if you dump that in and day out, then what you have is you have a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old who's more accepting to things like challenging, is Jesus the only way? You know, monogamy is the way that God created the sex is the only way, because then their minds has been open on a reoccurring basis. And many times I feel like the scripture is not held in tension with that on a reoccurring basis. What I mean is, they don't get exposed to the scripture that would contradict what they see on Disney on a regular, repeatable pattern, because Disney's so easy. You just turn it on and it's there.
And not only that, but most Christians just are not geared to think in terms of discernment.
Right.
You know, they're just not. For instance, there's a scene in the superhero action movie Wonder Woman. And there's a conversation going on between, you know, Steve Trevor and Diana. And in the course of the conversation, they're talking about reproduction. And she makes the comment that, you know, I've read these volumes of works. I understand what you're implying and talking about. And it wasn't in overt terms or anything It wasn't graphic speech. It was very 1940-ish type of what you would expect in a time period where we were a little more reserved in our speech patterns as a society. And you could tell, you know, he's trying to be gentlemanly in the conversation and everything else, you know, conversations you don't have with mixed company type stuff. And she makes the comment. Well, in the volume, it is determined that men are necessary for reproduction, but not for pleasure. And it just moves on.
And that's my
wife turns to me and goes, "Does that mean that the island's filled with lesbians, or is this a self thing?"
Mm-hmm.
And she's left with that question. Now, how many Christians would go through that movie and never? It wouldn't even register type of stuff. Well, that's what Disney's did. That type of subtle, just seconds of a conversation, is what Disney's doing now with these, with the elements that are in here. And John, like you said, it's more than just the gay element that seems to be hitting and causing controversy. Where was the controversy when Lizzie McGuire's parents were absolute idiots?
Because you're going to push the envelope a little bit at a time.
Yes.
And you know, you want a gradual slope, and all of a sudden you can start getting agendas across.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, you know. And Jonathan, you mentioned the father being the bumbling idiot, and while that is, you know, extremely prevalent, I think the biggest message and the issue we should have with Disney and a lot of their TV shows and movies is the rebellion of the child over the parents. I mean, you go through the 1990s, the 2000s, all the way up, really even to, you know, Moana, the newest hit. Every single one of them disobeys mom and dad.
Right, yeah. And I think that speaks to the assault on the sovereignty of God, ultimately. And that's the problem, and that's why it doesn't matter what the issue is when you don't recognize God as the sovereign. God sovereignly put these parents over me. Now, the reality is there are some bumbling parents, but the message should be, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. God sovereignly placed your parents as your parents. God sovereignly put you in this family. God sovereignly placed you with your brother or sister. They're not, you know, you're not to have these rivalries with each other and treat each other like this. Romans says when they did not recognize God as God, it's just downhill from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's no accident that the targets are God-ordained institutions.
Right.
Marriage, family, mm-hmm. Raising up the next generation. Those are the things that are under attack. They're not attacking frivolous things. And that's what makes it serious. It's a frivolous cartoon that's attacking a fundamental God-ordained institution.
And I think the other thing we need to talk about that was mentioned in this article is a very prevailing narrative right now, and that is this idea of, I want to see myself represented on the screen. Okay, so
yeah.
I've often thought of this. When you see CSI and stuff, does Ted Bundy and those people in the world, man, I'm so glad they got me represented on the screen. Mm-hmm. We got this idea that the biggest travesty is that your people group or your whatever it is not represented on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, that's not the biggest travesty. The biggest travesty is that we like to celebrate sin on the screen. And of course, we understand that the world's not going to see that as a problem. But these right now, the big thing is, the whole thing in Hollywood is about, fair and equal representation of everybody on the screen. And what we don't seem to be able to do is to take one good idea and stay away from sin. It's a good idea. Okay, I understand, and I'm fully resonant with the idea that, I'm of color, I'm from Africa, I'm dark skin, I'm light skin, whatever, and I look out and I see a whole bunch of white actors all the time coming out of Hollywood. Okay, I get that. But then we have to run off the edge into sin and things like this and say, okay, well, what about people who are behaving in behavior that we would say is sin, but what the world wants to paint it is this inequity, and we have such a bad ability to argue with them about the right things that we start arguing about inequity instead of about the sin itself.
Yeah, and it's really not unequal, right? Like this, and it's such a self-centered, me-first kind of idea, right? So let's just assume legitimacy for a homosexual population. What's the percentage of the population? At the high end, it's probably 2-3%. That's at the high end, right? If we start talking transgender, we're 0.0-something%. Right, and yet we want equal representation within media, within television, within movies. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2% of the population. If you're in one of every 50 movies, you've got equal representation, right? So the Dunkirk movie that just came out, there has been all kinds of criticism of Dunkirk because there's no minorities and no women in the movie. Well, because it's a historical drama that is accurate to what happened, and they weren't there. So you don't create things and put them in there for the sake of representing you when you weren't part of the period. It'd be ridiculous to say that. It'd be like if you did a documentary on an African tribe in sub-Saharan Africa and go, where are all the white people? We wouldn't expect to see them there because they weren't there. And yet, that's the narrative, is we need legitimacy and we need equal representation, even though we're an extreme minority, and that's such an anti-gospel, anti-God mindset,
mm-hmm.
that it's all about me and my needs and my wants, and I don't care if you think it's sinful, I should be able to do what I want.
Yeah, well, that's why this particular show, and I haven't been in Disney children's world for all that long. Now that I have a toddler, we're kind of entering it, but okay, 7 years for a cartoon. And one of the things that's mentioned in the video that's attached to this article is the fact that this family, the Doc McStuffins family, she is a little black girl, so the main character is a black girl, which, in predominantly white television and white cartoons, okay, there's the black girl, and her mother is a doctor, a successful woman who has accomplished herself. So, the agendas and the representation are already there. And in this particular episode, I thought it was, interesting that the homosexual couple, the two-mom family, is also an interracial couple.
Mm-hmm.
That they chose to do a black mom with a white mom. So that they were trying, as you guys said, they're literally trying to hit every representation of, no matter where you are on the spectrum, you're getting your 15 minutes of fame based upon your
section. And that's why Sykes is happy about the representation of her family, because that is her family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are a mixed ethnicity family. Her spouse is Caucasian. And I'm using that term in the political sense that it is recognized in the state in which she's, by the U.S. Supreme Court, it's recognized by our nation now. We don't agree with it, but
right.
That is the legal term now. her is not a life partner anymore. But they are legal since the time in which California began recognizing it. I assume they adopted the children because her last marriage was ended in 1998 when she divorced a man.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later is when she became legal with...
I assume so. I mean, she's 50-something years old, so with young children. So
yeah.
Probably.
So what you have is... In the statement that she makes that it represents our society, it represents who we are, it shows the trends of who we are. I mean, if we just broke down the demographic of one of the main lead vocal stars of this episode, and we began to really pull it down, we're talking about divorcees, we're talking about lesbianism, we're talking about just something happened that caused children to need to be adopted. And you begin breaking it down, and it goes further and further and further, even to the point that she takes care of animals. You know,
there's something there as well,
because especially with the veganism push and everything else, and you start taking all of that into consideration, and you start putting it out. And it's all portrayed as loving and normative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, compare that to the sitcoms where they are a married family. Ethnicity may or may not be mixed, but it is a male and a female. It is always a power struggle, some type of belittling, some type of cutting. I mean, Dave, you said it. It is an absolute attack on the institution that God ordained and the structure in which God ordained it. And this is a comedic, chaos-driven, moronic structure. Here's normative loving. Everybody's in peace and harmony. We're even in peace and harmony with animals and plants.
Yeah, you don't see the bumbling idiocy in the same-sex portrayals.
You don't.
That's an interesting point.
And you don't see the conflict of power struggle, which goes all the way back to Genesis 3 when we had the fall.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Which goes back to reality. And the thing is, Dave, your point was just a few moments ago that if you wanted an accurate percentage-driven portrayal of folks on the screen of what life is like, it would, first of all, change depending on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it would have to be representative of your society. But what we see today, especially in news reporting, you know, and all this hysteria about fake news and how Donald Trump has called it out. Well, the reality is, it is fake news.
Yeah, sure.
Donald Trump is telling the truth in this fact. When you put on the top of your news reports over and over about the LGBTQ movement and about immigration and all of those things, when you take the point to, you know, the 2%, the 7%, and you make them the lead stories over and over and over and over again, I mean, I can almost guarantee you that when I turn to NPR and I turn the volume on and they go to the top of the hour and they give me the news, something about that topic is going to be in the news. The other day I was thinking about this. Okay, and I want to just keep rocking this idea of God's sovereignty. So, the person who is really opposed to Trump's travel bans, and they really have this where they just tell the stories of the immigrants and how sad it is these people are separated. Okay, what is the ideal situation? Everybody in the world live in the United States?
Yeah.
Is that even physically possible?
Right.
So the answer is no. So what they don't even articulate is there has to be a cutoff point somewhere from a global, sustainable,
just
one of their favorite words.
Just a feasibility standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
One of their favorite words, sustainable standpoint. So the next question is, okay, who gets to decide that?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, God's already kind of put people around the globe. So when you don't recognize God as the sovereign, you get these kind of problems. Is it sad that somebody in some other nation is living in poverty? Yes, I fully recognize that. But ultimately, I'm not responsible for that. Now, if God pushes me to be responsible for a person or something, But I think we have an unrealistic ideal situation, and it ties right into this, because what is their answer? Is everybody in the world supposed to be gay and lesbian? That wouldn't even work.
Yeah.
That wouldn't even work from a sustainability.
Yeah.
Much less if you look around the world and you see that some nations still are really not on board on this whole thing.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have some nations that are quote-unquote back in the dark ages.
Like Islam?
Yeah.
But they get a pass on their
multiculturalism.
Well, I was talking to my exchange student on the way home last night, because I try to, you know, every once in a while put a check the dipstick on the oil in the youth group and make sure that, you know, everything is registering. And I'm like, okay, as a student that is English second language, who's, you know, sitting there listening to me talk full speed, you know, to students who have grown up in church, and students that have been in America for a week and never been to church before, you know, how much is understandable and registering? And, you know, then I proceeded to ask him, like, so what's it like in your culture? You know, how accepted is this? And he said in South Korea, it's not widely accepted of that homosexuality is okay, that they still don't care for it. Which, you know, if you're not sure of what South Korea is doing, well, then you should check your Samsung Galaxy phone, you should check your Hyundai, you should check your Kia, because they're very quickly making themselves an economic world power with what they're doing. I mean, if South Korea were to go under, there would be a lot in America that would be affected by it.
And if we bring this to the perspective from God's Word, and we begin to break this down, Jonathan, the part of the problem is that nationalism, the idea of nations, go against where we're headed as a society. You know, listeners, be forewarned, you know, everybody's upset because Trump's travel bans and everything else. And please understand, Bill Clinton also stood up in a State of the Union address and said, if they're illegal, they're going back to their countries. Bill Clinton wasn't foolish enough to come out of the gate saying, let's build a wall. I mean, that's where our President Trump went wrong. He riled everybody up, and now every move he makes, even a moderate one that aligns with Democratic presidents before him, is going to be hailed as the worst thing ever. But also, there's been 20-some-odd years between Clinton and Trump. And in that time, our world has steadily declined according to God's Word. And we're headed to a one-world government. And and nationalism cannot exist if that's going to be in existence. And everybody has to believe that it's in their best interest and the most loving thing in the world for us to all be on one equal playing field, one global community led by one single entity. And we'll know that that entity will be headed by the Antichrist as believers, and we'll understand that. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. This is why they want to be represented on TV. Lovers of money. That's why Disney's putting out these episodes. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient. Well, let's don't go to the disobedient parents yet. Proud, arrogant, abusive. Okay? Hello, Congress and most political leaders. To include our president, who can be a bully on Twitter.
Sure.
Disobedient to the parents. That's why you said no more Disney. Ungrateful. Well, simply go down to the unemployment lines or give some benevolence from your church. You'll see that happen. Unholy. Even from our pews out to the community. Heartless. Unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Hello, any of the riots in protest. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's why we have all the letters strung together. Have the appearance of godliness. That would be the Pope pandering to it, but denying its power. Avoid such people. How crazy can we get?
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of adjectives in there.
We are living in the days that are headed for Bible times.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, well, one of the things, and I don't know how much longer you guys want to talk about this. I took the article and broke down some of it with my students last night in youth group to talk about homosexuality. And I started with asking them, okay, what's the Bible's position on it? And I was kind of surprised, but I had a rising sophomore actually pull up the Leviticus passage. I was impressed that he was able to go ahead and, find that, whether he knew that it was just in Leviticus or, you know, whatnot. But he was able to bring up the Leviticus 18:22, don't lie with mankind as with womankind. But I tried to get the kids to understand, okay, you might understand what the Bible's position is on it, but then I followed that up with, well, what is your position on it? Because sometimes I think we just assume that our students, because that's my world, that's where, you know, I spend a lot of time, that because they know what the Bible says means they believe what the Bible says. And I don't think we're there. And I followed that up with the question of asking them, okay, how do you respond when you see homosexuality in front of you? How many of you are kind of the, I don't like that, but, you know, you kind of move on with life? How many of you are the other side of the spectrum of, I think I'm going to gag, like it just makes me sick? Or how many of you are kind of somewhere in the middle? And I've had students and youth workers, you know, all across the spectrum. And my biggest concern with the Doc McStuffins, with some of the other examples I showed the students, is it's going to be a desensitization. They're going to slowly bring it in through one level of media, then the other. And so I even showed the kids, you know, I had one slide that had several different images on it. Some we've already addressed. So we talked about Good Luck Charlie, how there's a preteen TV show. Beauty and the Beast had its exclusively gay moment. The Flash, which is a popular superhero TV series on CW, also on Netflix, that has a police chief that is an open homosexual. You have, I think it's on ABC Family, but Modern Family, and also Pretty Little Liars, which is a popular one among our students, especially teenage girls. They all have a homosexual in the movie or in the series that kind of portrays how they deal with life. And then even into our other types of entertainment, like music. Little older examples, but all of them were well aware of it. In the pop culture world, the pop artist Katy Perry had a song come out about 2005, 2006 called I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. And I thought, you know, I was like, that was popular when I was growing up. That was just before I graduated high school. But then a couple weeks ago, I don't think I told you this, Nathan, I'm on the way home from junior camp with third grade through sixth grade students, and a boy in the back of the bus at the top of his lungs is singing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It.
And well, it's okay for him to sing it.
Yeah. Well, but the you know, as
Doc plays in with the ringer for the dice.
Yeah. and you know, and I thought about that and I was like, okay, well, yeah. But what that's communicating though is he's heard that song, and he just—it's to him, it's just a song. And for the country music fans out there, it's been a little over a year, I'd say, but Little Big Town had a song come out called Girl Crush.
Yep.
And in the country music scene, it caused a little bit more of a stir than it did in the pop music scene, because typically your country music fans are going to be more of your societal good old boys, you know.
Conservatives?
The conservatives, compared to pop music. And so it caused quite a stir. But, you know, I'm just trying to show them, like, it's all around you, but the question you have to take is, or think about and answer is, I know what the Bible says, but what is my position based upon what the Bible says? And I even brought them an article, and it's from one of these, you know, pro-gay websites, where they took several different Bible passages. The author was Leighton Williams, and it's from sojo.net. But the author gives 10 different Bible passages on why God is okay with homosexuality. Anything from Genesis 1:26, that God made humans in His image, and so since you don't understand God's image completely, you don't know that what I am is not acceptable. Acts chapter 10, Peter's vision, that what's been called you know, what has culturally been unclean and forbidden is now allowed. And so it, since Peter could disobey Jewish or Mosaic law and still be considered holy or still be what's, you know, going on, all the way to a couple different passages about talking about eunuchs, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, where because he was not able to fulfill part of the Mosaic law in his being fruitful and multiplying, that he was violating the law, yet he was allowed to join the family of God because he believed. And these multiple different perceptions, and that's where I wanted my students to be aware, is, okay, people are out there going to twist Scripture out of context to mean what it is they want it to mean. And if you don't have a position already founded, and you've made the decision long ago on how you're going to handle this, then you're going to be the one who's deceived. You're not going to be the vigilant person sitting there watching the episode and saying, oh yeah, that's wrong, oh yeah, that's wrong, and you know what, I just need to stop watching this TV series. Because that's where things are going to break down in our culture. You know, for those of us in the room, we've kind of already formed our decisions, and we now are reactionary to society bringing this upon us. But our students, our children, our children's ministry, okay, all of them are growing up in this culture that if we don't do something about it to be proactive and form their thinking based upon the Word of God, then they're going to allow themselves to be swayed away with the world.
And that's what you said right there. That you sum it up that way. The listener needs to understand that their child is being formed to a worldview, and the question is, who's doing the forming? Even if you decide to let them watch a show, if you are not spending an exorbitant amount of time counteracting and talking with and teaching and preparing them to withstand the pressures that are being subtly put before them, then you are allowing them to be formed by the world. And if you're a Christian, that means your children are going to make choices to dumb down, weaken, or even leave the Christian faith that you yourself say you believe so adamantly. You have to work extra hard to form a biblical worldview in your children, especially if you don't have them in an environment like ours where you have a Christian academy and a church and the home aligned in that fight. It's tough enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's near impossible for those in the public school system, especially if Disney's the second teacher.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think personal pleasure and materialism are the enemies of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, as I was driving here, I saw a dad. And I'll tell you why I know he's a dad in a minute. So a dad pushing a lawnmower around the neighborhood, and it was obvious he was kind of looking for work. And as I kind of came up on the scene, I saw him pushing the lawnmower down the street. And then just a little ways after him, I saw two kids and a mom. And the mom was carrying a rake. And the mom decided that, I'm not going to sit at home. This is a family endeavor. I'm going to go help dad look for work. And I just thought to myself, Americans don't do that. These folks were obviously immigrants, I could tell.
Americans used to do that.
Right, they used to do that. Mom used to work like that with dad. We used to sell this as an endeavor. But as you say, Jackie, many times now it's a power struggle. You know, whoever provides the most, if they both work, you know, well, I do most of the work, you know, and it comes to housework and stuff. And we don't see it as, and to me that was just such a blessing to me, to see a lady who decided, okay, you know what? We're probably not in the best of situations. I mean, the guy's not out there pushing a lawnmower because they're loaded and they got all everything they need to pay their bills. That guy was out there looking for work probably for today and what they needed today. And rather than be, and I don't know her heart, but, you know, she had her two kids there with her and she was carrying the rake, walking along with him. You know, that whole scene says a lot.
Yep.
And if we could just get back to a little bit of that and apply that to this idea, Jack, you mentioned work. Turn off the TV, get out the Bible, get out the golden books, you know, the little golden books you read to your kids. Read to your kids. Dads, get your kids. And I was just convicted of this. I was looking on a Crossway website on my phone, trying to find a book, because there's a book about how we think and treat gay people, people who say they're gay, as Christians? What do we do with that? Because you mentioned that it was a small little readable book. It was great. But, you know, there's lots of books for kids on this website. Parents need to get on Crossway Books, look for those things, and encourage your children. As you say, Jack, we need to build this tension against where the world is leaning. We need to build some tent poles and some guy wires pulling back on it from the Word of God.
And I would even recommend for the adult listeners who want who may not have formed their beliefs and solidified, as a book I gave your son before he went off to the Navy when he graduated high school, and that's Counterculture by David Platt. And he takes a lot of these hot topic button items, and they're broken down into small chapters, so you can read whichever chapter you're kind of faced with to help you in that discussion, because you know David Platt's going to bring a lot of Bible into it from a solid perspective.
All right, so as we wrap up, you know, to recap, listener, okay, it's there. It's in front of your child. It's in front of you. And you have an option to either inform yourself with the Word of God, to ignore it, or allow Satan to creep in and twist your thinking, to pull passages out of context so that you think you and God have a special agreement for you to live the way you want. We hope this was an encouragement to you, that it's thought-provoking. And post your comments below. Have a good afternoon.